vacation on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of Arab English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today is a special on the knowledge of Imam Reza alayhi salam.
I would like to say to my mom, I really love my mom. I really want to do everything for Islam, and I really want that my imam help us all mu'mins and mu'minas to become muttaqi and prepare ourselves for the coming of 12th imam.
I will ask Imam Reza alayhi salam, please grant me permission to visit your holy shrine once again.
Assalamu alaikum ya Imam Musa Reza alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum ya Imam Reza alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum ya Ghribat wa Ghurba. Assalamu alaikum ya Ibn Musa Raza. Assalamu alaikum Shamsu Samus. Assalamu alaikum all spreader of tools. Assalamu alaikum Ali Ibn Musa Raza.
Today, Friday is the 10th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start today's program, that is today's special, with the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 55.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore His Messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Guardianship over Muslims belong firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, secondly to Prophet Muhammad, and then to the Immaculate Imams, and after that to the jurisconsults. The best kind of introduction is that in which the qualities and characteristics of a particular person be mentioned, and the audience adopt them to its aspects, and they themselves find its extension. The verse, without mentioning the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam, has enumerated his qualities and action.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa ar-Riza al-Murtadha. Al-Imam al-Taqi al-Nabi. وحجتك على من فوق الأرض ومن تحت الثرى يا الصديق الشهيد صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائي.
The knowledge of Imam Reza alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam had inherited the divine knowledge from his great-grandfather, the Holy Prophet of Islam. Imam Reza alayhi salam was practically like an ever-flowing fountain that quenched the knowledge-seeker's thirst for learning. His father, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, often advised the members of the family to consult with Ali, that is Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam, about the problems they had in understanding the true concepts of the Islamic doctrines or about other religious issues. The Holy Seven Imam, that is Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, enjoined the Ahlul Bayt to learn by heart whatever Ali or Ali ibn Musa Reza has recommended. Imam Reza alayhi salam was known as the wisest of all his contemporaries. His Holiness always succeeded in answering the questions raised by Ma'mun, the ruling caliph, with reference to the Quranic ayahs.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are concerned with a certain doctrinal discussions and dialects that the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam had with the religious leaders of certain religions. And in this way, I mean, in terms of present-day academic discussions, it must be indicated that nowadays we find that some authors or some, for example, specialists, when they develop essays and have them published, I mean, in journals, in newspapers, in books, or nowadays quite widespread, I mean, in online social media, a great majority of them don't want to direct the audience to the right path, to the right way, or help them accept the truth. Rather, a great majority of them may want to mislead the readers or the audience. While in the practices of the 8th Infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, he never intended to misdirect or misguide any of his disputants. So rather, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was quite sympathetic to other people, to the followers of other religions, even though they were not, certainly they were not illiterate people, they were religious leaders of other regions. Yet Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam intended to direct them to the right path. And this is a very good and important humane attitude we may learn from the conduct of the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
The Imam uses supplication as a weapon. Another quality of Imam Reza's spiritual life is that he practiced supplication as a weapon through praying to Allah and referring to Him in all his efforts. For he found in it a supplication, a spiritual enjoyment, which none of the enjoyments of life equaled it. The Imam urged his companions to supplicate Allah and said to them, adhere to the weapons of the prophets. What is the weapon of the prophets? He was asked. Supplication, he replied. The Imam advised his companions to conceal supplication and that the man should supplicate his Lord secretly, that none may know of him. He, peace be upon him, has said, a servant's secret supplications equals 70 open supplications. Rules of etiquette for visiting Imam al-Reza's holy shrine. 1. Pay attention to the presence of the Imam. The time condition for a pilgrimage to be accepted is to meet with His Majesty, that is the Imam alayhi salam. In other words, visiting the shrine is not simply limited to entering or exiting in one place. You have to bear in mind the spiritual presence that surrounds you. There is a lofty soul present. Pay attention to this presence. Perform prayers and recite zikr in the shrine. Inside the holy shrine, perform prayers, qaza or misprayers, obligatory salats, recommended prayers, and pray for parents. Recite zikr, la ilaha illallah, there is no God besides Allah, and the tasbihat, provided that the heart is firmly connected.
So Imam al-Ridha, peace and blessings be upon him, left the holy city of Medina and he made his way towards the land of Khurasan, the area of Merv. During the way, he went through several cities. He met a number of his followers, people that had admired his teachings and indeed were following his path. yet perhaps arguably one of the most important places that Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam reached on his journey to Khurasan was the place known as Naishapur. Now, of course, this particular area is significant because of an important tradition presented by Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam here in this holy city. So Imam alayhi salam in Naishapur then was requested to mention and to narrate a hadith, a tradition for people to benefit from. He was on the camel, sitting on the saddle, and then he mentioned the famous tradition known as the hadith as-silsilatul dhahabiyya, the golden chain of narration. And it was here in Naishapur, as we are presently, where the Imam alayhi salam uttered those wonderful blessed words, the tradition whereby he says, I narrate to you from my father Musa ibn Ja'far, from his father Ja'far ibn Muhammad, from his father Muhammad ibn Ali, from his father Ali ibn al-Husayn, from his father Husayn ibn Ali, from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, from his brother Rasulullah, from Jibra'il, from Allah, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, كَلِمَةُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ حِسْنِي. The word لا إله إلا الله is my fortress. فَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِسْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. Whoever enters my fortress is protected from my punishment. People were excited. Remember, they were in Naishapur and they were writing this blessed hadith. Then they said to the Imam, is that what it is? Imam alayhi salam then concluded by saying, بِشَرْطِهَا وَشُرُوطِهَا وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوطِهَا. It comes with its conditions, it comes with its terms, and the wilaya of Ali Muhammad is a term, an important, significant, absolutely crucial term in the protection of one's faith and the acceptance of one's action in order for this La ilaha illallah to indeed encapsulate the human being and to act as a fortress of protection.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please do not forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page, also our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode of Today's Special, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Ali Musa Raza, Ali Musa Raza, Ya Ali Musa Raza, Ali Musa Raza, Ali Musa Raza, Ali Musa Raza, Ya Ali Musa Raza.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, narrates that his illustrious ancestor, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, when asked by a person on the rights of the father upon the son, said, he should not call his father by name. He should not walk ahead of him. He should not sit until his father has seated himself. And he should not do such acts as a result of which people abuse his father.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about affliction. And in this tradition, the Imam alludes to the reward for enduring an affliction. Ajrul masa'ib, meaning if somebody's, God forbid, is afflicted with a affliction, a problem, a calamity, God forbid, and he patiently endures what he is going through, and then God Almighty will reward him and give him a reward for what he is doing his patience. In this tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, he said the following to a man who was experiencing intense grief at the loss of his son. Right? May God forbid anybody go through this problem. But this person, his son passed away, and he was very sad at this, and he was unable to contain himself. The Imam said, "You are grieving at the minor affliction and are heedless of the major affliction." Meaning, you are grieving at something very small, a very small problem. But there's another big problem that you are unaware of. If you were aware of it, you would grieve about this major affliction. "If only you had prepared yourself for the place that your son has passed away to, your grief would not be so intense. meaning the Imam is alluding to the hereafter, you know, and death and everything that will transpire at that time. The Imam says that because you haven't prepared yourself for that day, you are grieving at this small problem. If you were and had prepared yourself and were thinking about the akhirat, the hereafter, you wouldn't grieve in such a manner. You would patiently bear, you know, this problem, and you wouldn't be so intensely sad about it. In continuation, the Imam says, for your affliction at having neglected preparation for it, meaning the hereafter, is much greater than the loss of your son. Your son has passed away, it's true. His spirit has gone to God, and he is in a peaceful and in a very happy state, right? But by grieving in such a manner and not being patient, right, you are harming your akhirat, your hereafter, and what will befall you in after death. In a similar manner, in another tradition, Imam Ali alayhi salam says the following. The Imam was once asked what the worst affliction was, to which he replied, to be afflicted with a blow to one's faith, meaning to having having one's iman decrease. It's very interesting, on the night in which the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Prophet, Laylatul Mabit, as they call it in Arabic, the Prophet came to, you know, the story is that the Prophet came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and asked him to sleep in his bed because there was a plan to kill the Prophet on this night. The plan was that the Prophet would be killed. The Prophet said, the Prophet made a plan that for Imam Ali to sleep in his bed and he would secretly escape. The Imam alayhi salam was asked by the Prophet, he simply said, if sleeping in this bed will save you, I will surely do it. The Imam was thinking about his faith and not about his life. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the worst of afflictions and the reward for enduring an affliction in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? Are you good?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Welcome back again. Thanks to Allah Almighty that we are, alhamdulillah, going to hold another Quranic session in level 3 of our Quranic classes, the Tajweed rules. Okay. So, as you know, that in the previous sessions, we were talking about the very first important topic in Tajweed, which was about the pronunciation of the Arabic alphabet letters, the correct pronunciations. So, Hussein Musa,
yes,
please recite this surah. We'll be listening to you.
From the beginning?
Yeah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
We will be listening to you in case you make a mistake, okay? We'll attack.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسن.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. كلا سوف تعلمون.
There was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
What was the mistake?
Also, بير مقابر.
Bir, you say it again.
Yeah, bir.
No, no, bir.
Bir.
Bir. Low sound, okay? A lower sound. Say it. Hatta.
Hatta zurtumul maqabir.
Maqo.
Maqabir.
Yeah.
Maqabir.
That's nice. Maqo. O. Bir.
Maqabir.
That's nice.
Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun.
Oh, what was the mistake?
Ayn.
Ayn.
Ta'lamun.
Fix your ayn, okay?
Sorry, I said
ayn. I mean, not your eyes, okay? The letter ayn. If you say ta'lamun, what does it mean? Ta'lamun means they have pain, okay?
Yeah.
They have pain. They are hurting, okay, themselves, for example.
I said ayn, but I said it low.
If you say ta'lamun, it means they know.
Yeah.
If you say ta'lamun, Hamza, it means
they have pain.
They have pain, yes.
Two different meanings. Look, we do not say that ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then they will have pain. No. Then they will understand. Then they will know. The meaning is this, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I read it again?
Yeah. ثُمَّ.
ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ.
That's good.
كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ.
أحسن.
لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
That's nice.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
Very good.
You didn't pronounce
الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وأجل
فرجه. He didn't pronounce لترون ال. He said رتان.
Yeah.
He didn't say with لام.
Look, two mistakes like the. Now you have, okay. All of you have this. Thumma.
Thumma.
Okay, next one. Latarawunna. Look, anna. Thumma. You have to prolong the sound, okay? Inshallah, the next sessions we'll study about the mim mushaddad and noon mushaddad, okay? Yeah. It has like a ghunna sound. Inshallah, we'll study what is ghunna sound. We'll talk about them. So, thumma, thumma. Thumma. Do not say thumma. Fast, no.
Thumma.
Steady, okay? Thumma.
Yeah. Thumma.
Good. That's it. Latus'alunna. Mm-na. This sound. Okay. Ali Nasir, waiting for you to recite. That was nice, Hussein Musa. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah.
Thanks.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Ahsan.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Great.
ألهاكم التكاثر.
Good. Suppose it's H there, the letter H.
Yes.
ألها.
Yeah.
Okay.
حتى زرتم المقابر.
That's good.
كلا سوف تعلمون.
ما شاء الله.
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون. كلا لو تعلمون. علم اليقين. لترهن الجحيم.
That's nice.
ثم لترهنها عين اليقين.
Look, sometimes the reciters, if you have listened to Abdul Basit, okay, sometimes even that letter ha, even he does not pronounce it. Okay? How do you say? For example, ثم لن ترونك. Not gof, okay? It is sound. Like, yeah. As if, because when you say it very clearly, when you recite that ha very clearly, you need to like release some breath, okay?
Yes.
ثم لن ترونها. Look how much breath you release, okay? So you have to pay attention, okay?
ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
That's nice.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
ثم لن تسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
أحسن.
ما شاء الله.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
رَبَّنَا
رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
Hussain Ruhullah, recite it.
Okay.
أعوذ بالله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ما شاء الله حسين روح الله. Okay.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم.
Again.
لترون الجحيم.
Again.
لترون الجحيم.
Again.
So what is the mistake?
There is no mistake. Uh-huh. I just wanted to make sure. Do you believe yourself that you're reciting it correctly or no?
Self-confidence.
There was no mistake. Huh. I just wanted... Okay, go on.
ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ.
Okay, repeat this time. Of course, you didn't have any mistake.
ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ.
Uh-huh, good.
ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ.
أحسنت. اللهم صل على
محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Sometimes when we have like oral exams, okay? So when we go to the teacher, he's trying to ask us, okay, oral exams. So he asks us a question. When we give the answer, he says, yeah, that? We say, yes. He says, what? A lot of times, okay, he's trying to make us, like...
change the answer.
Yeah, change the answer. That answer is the exact answer, okay? There's no other answer, but he's trying, like, to confuse us. That's why I tried on him, okay? It worked. There wasn't any mistake. Look, for example, I'm reading the word, okay? It is min ba'de. He says min ba'du. I recite min ba'de. He says min ba'du. I say... Ya ba'du. Then he says min ba'da. He's trying to confuse us, okay? So in this case, you have to be careful. So sometimes I do this, okay? I use my teacher's trick here, okay? I try on you. So, be careful. Go on, Fawad Haider. Recite it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Ahsan, that's nice. Bismillah.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Great.
ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر.
أحسنت.
كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون.
Good.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم.
أحسنت.
ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
Next آية.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
That's it. عن النعيم. اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألهاكم التكاثر.
Competition in worldly increase diverts you.
حتى زرتم المقابر.
Until you visit the graveyards.
كلا سوف تعلمون.
No, you are going to know.
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون.
Then, no, you are going to know.
كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ.
No, if you only knew with knowledge of certainty.
لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ.
You will surely see the hell fire.
ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّ.
Then you will surely see it with the eye of certainty. Then you will surely be asked that day about pleasure.
Very good. Thank you so much. Now there is one more surah. So I want you to challenge me, okay?
Okay. We give you a
I really challenge you.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Accepted?
Yes.
Okay. So now you will bring Surah Muzammil al-Rahman.
Muzammil al-Rahman? No, not these two surahs. There is a small surah, okay? But I really challenge you. Let's see, inshallah. No, after reciting your salawat,
okay.
Inshallah we'll recite this surah, okay?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider, bringing you Back to Reality. Here in the studio today, we have with us dear sister Zainab Sadat. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And our dear brother, Sheikh Yasir Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Now, obviously, faith is a central part of Islam. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believe and do good deeds. This phrase is repeated so often throughout the Quranic literature, the tafasir, and even in the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam's words. We know that these two things, belief and good deeds, are incredibly, incredibly important. But we're going to be focusing on the first part of that, this idea of iman. Why is it so important? I mean, I can give charity, I can be a good person to others. Why do I have to have this belief? I'd like to go first to Sheikh Ibrahim.
It's a very important question. Again, it's a theological question. I don't want to bore the listeners with my theological rants. But why is belief important? Just be, like you mentioned, be a good person. You know, one of the things that belief gives you is a kind of border, right? Like, for example, everybody has belief. First of all, that's something to get in there. Nobody can say, oh, I have no belief. Having no belief itself is a belief, right?
Yeah.
So whatever your belief may be, you act according to it. It's a manifestation. Your actions are a manifestation of what you have inside of you.
It's like when somebody says, I have no politics.
Exactly, and that's itself is a political stance, yeah, right?
A political stance.
The same thing. Yeah. The belief that you have, again, how you get that belief, how you've ended up coming to that particular conclusion that this is what I believe in. I believe in aliens, for example, and aliens are going to come and induct me or whatever you want to do. You have gone through a particular journey to reach that particular conclusion. And then you will act with the world around you based on those beliefs, right? So first of all, principally, the beliefs or your actions rather are a manifestation of your beliefs. So therefore, they are important, regardless whether you like it or not. Interacting with other people, therefore, are also based on your beliefs. Further, the reason why you interact with people, your intentions are based on your beliefs. The intention, the actual intention. That you
right.
So it whole spectrum of things. So it is important for a person to clearly identify, what do I believe in? In order to understand, okay, well, this is why I'm acting in a particular manner. Or this is why I shouldn't act in a particular manner. Like, for example, in Western society, or in majority of societies throughout the world, people don't commit crime not because, oh, I'm being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a CCTV camera watching. The big difference, right? Remove the camera.
To quote the Joker, when the chips are down, these civilized people, they will eat each other.
Proper.
You know, because when the electricity goes, for example, the CCTV cameras are switched off, now all hell breaks loose. It's a good point. So your beliefs directly impact your actions.
We'll come right back to that, inshallah, after a break.
Sister, what are your immediate thoughts on this idea of faith being so important?
Well, I personally believe that faith is somehow a pillar to a person. It is considered as the pillar of a person, the base of a person. When I have a good thoughts, when I have good beliefs about here in religion, about God, for example, I will not be influenced by anything or any person at all, you know. In case I don't have a much strong belief, in case I'm just imitating my parents, for example, in doing religious conducts, then somebody comes to me and tells me that, okay, Zainab, you don't have to bother yourself. Mm. You can just eat your food when you're alone. And when you come to your parents, you can pretend to be fasting. Mm. Or you can pretend to say your prayers in front of them and lots of things. But, you know, when it comes to me and I have a good belief or faith, I would say no. I would say strongly no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that God watches me. And I believe that fasting is good for my health. It's good for my own. I do not want to cheat others. I cannot cheat myself. And that's the case. So it's quite important for everyone to work on their beliefs or to work on their faith, because it shows lots of things and it determines your destiny and your and even your relationship to God.
Right. Okay, so what I'm getting from both of you here is that faith is important because it influences your actions, right? I am a decent human being. And some of them, you know, in action-wise, they are. You know, they even if the lights were switched off, per se, a certain person, they wouldn't commit any crimes. They wouldn't be dishonest. They wouldn't steal anything. They wouldn't kill anybody, right? Even though they don't have any faith at all in, like, a higher power. So what do you have to say about that?
That particular person, obviously, we cannot look at specifics. Looking at specifics would obviously be detrimental. We have to understand that, okay, is my faith important or is there a particular faith that I have to accept that will make all of this worthy?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, otherwise it would just be yeah. Like, so one for action example, right? An action.
For example, people ask questions that Thomas Edison, like today,
the light bulb, the
yeah. microphone we're using, the lights we're in, our mm-hmm. laptops, our phones, everything is based off that one discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much good is done from it. What happened to this person? But we do not know Thomas Edison, the person. We don't know what he did. We don't know what he may have done, other things in his private life. He's, you know, we don't know. We know nothing. History doesn't tell us anything. So we can't make specifics about these people. We don't know what's in a person's heart.
Mm.
We don't know the intentions of that person. Which comes back to a more important thing. Like I mentioned as well, the concept of intention. We have, again, the concept of faith. The intention by which the action is done is also important.
Mm.
Do I do that action in order to become famous?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you find a difference. For example, one of the great scholars of Islam, Shaykh Mutahhari, rahmatullah alayhi, writes in one of his books that there was a time when nobody would work in a certain hospital in Iran. And a group of Christians from the Europe came. So he said, look, not to be pessimistic and not to be negative, but let's look at why they came. Did they come purely out of altruism, just to come and serve? Or was there something behind them? This is something we need to look at. The intention here is important.
They were being paid. Yeah. A lot of
or
money.
Pay or whatever it was, right? So is the act itself important or no? Is the intention behind that act also important? And belief forms that intention.
So, okay, so are we saying that a person who doesn't have the faith but has the action is actually in some ways insincere in what they do?
Depending on what they're looking at. Why are you doing it? And one of the beauties of this world is that you will never know a person's intention.
It's not a beautiful thing, is it? It's a little bit frustrating. But let's come back to Sister. You said a very adamant yes to that there.
Yes, and you know, another thing that sets an atheist person or a person who does not have any belief in God with a person who is Muslim or believes in God is the criteria that are set by God, and we have to follow them. I accepted that our instincts tell us what to do, and definitely a good thing is considered as a good thing for all the religions. For example,
to an extent.
Yes, for example, you know, being kind, it is considered as a good thing for everybody. and coming to Islam, God has set some criteria for being good, for treating other people in a good way. And there are several narrations, there are several verses, and I think that we don't have much time. In general, I want to say that the criteria that are set by our God, Allah, or by Islam, make it different for us to act from those who do not believe in God. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Al-a'mal bin-niyat, that your actions are based on your intention. But then the Imam goes, wa huwa al-amal, that the intention itself is the act. The Imam goes deeper. He doesn't say that your actions are based on your intention. The Imam stops and says, no. Think about it. Your act, the intention itself is your act.
That is subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned this tradition, that the intention itself is the actual manifestation of the act, and the output of that intention of yours is what you see in the physical.
So when it comes to the... if actions are on niyat, on the intentions, right? So actions matter only according to what the intention behind them was. That's what we're essentially saying here. And if the Imam is actually defining the intention itself, to make an intention is a verb. It is a action that we're taking. What's the niyat behind that?
That is goes back to irada. It goes back to will.
It goes back to what?
Will. The soul.
We're talking about, you know, as'alukum ala ruh. Like, they ask you concerning the ruh. And then Allah replies, well, he tells the Prophet to say, قول الروح
من أمر الله من أمر ربك
أمر ربك من أمر ربي. So that's really deeply philosophical, isn't it? Because that means that your action of having an intention, the intention behind that action is God.
God is the reason why we're doing. Intention could be somehow regarded as the reason for why you're doing something.
This is where you see the difference. The concept of ruh and nafs is very difficult. But there are certain faculties within the nafs. Each of these faculties manifests a certain thing. Your nafs can have an intention that can be satanic, and it can be divine. So you see the intention, wherever it flows from, will manifest itself very differently. Even though in the physical manner it may be the same in terms of its outward appearance, but its source is very different. For example, a person like, let's mention his name, Mr. Musk, may give charity, but for a very devilish intention. Give a lot of money. But for a very devilish intention. Whereas me or you give not even a 0.001% of that same thing. And there's a very famous thing about the khums. I don't know if you remember the story of the khums.
If you can throw it in there very quickly.
I can't remember which Imam it was. I think it was Imam Kazim alayhi salam, if I'm not mistaken, that all of his Shia from all over, I think it was from Khorasan, give khums. Imam said, take all of his back. There's one coin. Give me that coin. One coin. Why? He said, this was not ikhlas. The rest was not. From a lady who gave one coin.
That's all we have time for, unfortunately. I wish we could discuss this in more detail. From myself, from Sister Zainab Sadat, and from Brother Yasir Ibrahim, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.